Dear Saints, I hope you would forgive me. I'm quite overwrought, I admit. My heart actually is bursting, not just now, but all the time, with this heavy burden within me for the churches and the saints. And this is really not just Northern California, but particularly the churches in the USA and in North America. To me, the Lord's grace is moving. Whenever the Spirit moves, it's the Lord's gracious hand in people, especially the younger generation, to have questions about their meaning, about the universe, about life, about God, about the Bible, about Jesus. That's a seeking, and it's a seeking of the highest order, and that is the eternity that God has installed in every man. And the ones that he has marked out and chosen, including us, the Lord has put within a particular seeking, in incessant seeking. And as the word in Isaiah says, and God has put a hunger in the land, am I right? Not for bread, not for water, but for the words of Jehovah. Such a seeking and pursuing of the Lord by those that he has marked out. To me, this is already happening. And this is due to, I believe, a lot of prayer. Even by all Christians, by the Lord's lovers and believers in this country. I believe so, not just us. And the world situation, the outward situation, the societal situation, also is used by the Lord, the environment, accentuate, to intensify this kind of a seeking, because there's really no solution to mankind's problem, right? Despite all the technological, scientific, medical advances, there is no solution to the human problem, because that problem is not physical or mental, it's spiritual. And so all that translates into a situation, may I say, an opportunity, a season for us to increase our cooperation with the Lord, so that people can be saved and people can come to know him, and even people will come into the church life for his testimony. And so I hope you get that in my speaking. So I'm not just haranguing and shouting and you know berating or just putting burdens on you. That's not my heart. That's not my heart at all. Last time when I was with you, I talked about let's lift up our eyes. That word in John 4, after the Lord saved that Samaritan woman, the Lord came to save that Samaritan woman. made a detour in the heat of day. This is our Savior, the Lord Jesus, came to save that woman. And after the disciples came back with some food and so on, the Lord said, I have food that you know not of. That's to do the will of the Father. And that is to save this woman. So I actually created many years ago, a outline for a gospel message. It's called The Thirsty Sinner and the Hungry Savior. There's a match. There's a match. When man is thirsty, God is hungry. Man is also thirsty until he finds God. And God will always be hungry until he gains man. And so, brothers and sisters, I just have, I mean, having labored among you for some years now, I just am burdened that there, all of you in Northern California, in different churches, we would rise up in these days with this kind of a view, with this kind of a burden. There's a season for everything, right? Ecclesiastes, that's a time to sow, a time to reap what is sown. And I feel, brothers, actually now it's both. It's a time to sow and it's time to reap. That woman in John 4, the Lord went to reap him, her, I should say. So he said, lift up your eyes to the disciples. Do not say there's yet 4 months. The fields are white. The fields are white. In other words, what the Lord is saying that is that the time of the harvest is here. Verse 35, John 4, do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then the harvest comes? Behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto eternal life, in order that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. A lot of these seeking people, God's work is already with them and in them. Because of certain experience they have, the background they have, the things they pass through in life, things they have read, they're already in that sense prepared. Some seeds have been sown. Now it's up to us who have the answer to all those questions. We even have a very popular gospel tract called The Mystery of Human Life. We got that mystery unlocked, haven't we? Haven't we? And these people are looking for exactly that. And so brothers, these days, we really, really need to ask ourselves, what are we doing here? What is the church life doing here? What is the Lord's recovery doing here? Not, brothers, to be a passive testimony, to just rejoice in what we have so graciously received. But it is time, while yet it's day, while there's daylight. To all of us, rise up as one man, and all the churches rise up as one body to fulfill that commission of the Lord And may I say, even that particular commission that our senior co-worker, our Brother Lee, pass on to us. I, for one, don't know how to go on without doing this. I feel the debt, right, to the Lord God, for sure, the Savior God. I feel a debt to this ministry of the age. I feel a personal debt to Brother Lee as my senior co-worker. I feel a debt to the Lord's dear recovery, his wonderful recovery. I feel a debt to the churches. I feel a debt to all the saints. If I don't share these things, speak these things, and just, you know, go retire and have a good, enjoyable last few years of my life, brothers, I cannot do that. That is not being faithful. And then in, I believe in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, all right? What did the Lord say there? He said to the Lord, appointed 70 and send them two by two to every city and place where he is going to come. And he said, the harvest, the Lord said to the disciples, these 70, the harvest is great. It's harvest time, he's telling them. But the workers few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest that he would thrust out workers into his harvest. You may say, well, the time is not ripe yet. The Lord said, just pick up your eyes and not look at yourself and just take a look at the field. It is white. It is ready for harvest. In fact, that harvest is great. Brotherly came in human terms in the most unopportune time in the 1960s, which is a crazy decade. Crazy decade. But he came at that time because the Spirit was moving and the time was right and the seekers were waiting. Some of them tell them, Brother Lee, if you have come a little earlier, we won't be ready. Just the right time. When Watchmen, these books start to come out and they start reading and they found out Brother Need has a co-worker in this country, and announcements of conferences on the Stream magazine, so many in these free groups, pastors, missionaries, and eventually loads of young people. And there was a Jesus movement at the time. And today, this kind of seeking, this kind of a work of the Lord is here in this country. We need to follow our brother to come to the USA, if you know what I mean. I mean, he was almost 60 years old, in his 50s, and had to shed his Chinese culture and stop speaking Chinese and everything in English, and hard to understand, heavy, heavy Chinese accent. But he had a commission. He came. The Lord was with him. And the timing was right. And look at it. Look at the results. We're still here benefiting from that. And today, there's not just one person. Today, there are 20, 30,000 saints. If just a good percentage of them would rise up to do the same thing. We will not be brotherly. I don't mean we are him and do what he did. I'm saying you add all of our efforts together. What an impact. What can happen to this country? I think it's beyond what we can imagine. for too long, we think that the recovery is just the way it is, small, weak, kind of touch and go, kind of solving problems and have a few turmoils in between, and the ministry is wonderful, but that's it. Brother, I reject that. I refuse to believe that. I feel the Lord's recovery can increase much, much more in numbers. I feel the testimony of Jesus can be much more powerful. In fact, in these years since Brother Lee's passing, the Lord has graced us already so much by our blending, in our oneness, in our still following this ministry, in these feasts, in that wonderful FTTA training, raising up so many from this next generation. Brothers, the Lord continued to give. The Lord continued to bless. But the blessing from the Lord is not just for our enjoyment only. I say again and again, to whom more is given, more is required. And this is a good time, since let's not miss the Spirit's footsteps, the Spirit's vanguard, the Spirit's move always ahead of us and rise up. Now, I want to just say a few words in a more kind of a practical way. I also have this for you to read. You can go. There's a book, I believe, called Being Desperate and Living Uniquely for the Gospel. Okay? Being Desperate and Living Uniquely for the Gospel. I believe it is from 1987 that Brother Lee spoke in Anaheim. I think it's in the Collected Works of Witness Lee, 1987, Volume 1. You just go there. He said this, utterance. We must live uniquely for the gospel. If you are faithful to the Lord by living uniquely for the gospel, the Lord will bless. He will bless your job or your business. He will take care of you. He will fulfill his promise in Matthew 6:33. That is to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. If you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, he will give you his kingdom and his righteousness with an addition of all your daily necessities. We have no excuse. We must learn to live on this earth uniquely for the gospel. And this gospel includes the spreading and the propagation of the truth in his word. Now, I would just say a couple of things. Number one, in this particular book that I really suggest you all get into, maybe every small group, get this book and go through this book. Take a few weeks and let this lead you to prayer and the kind of consecration that I just talked about. Here in this book, you know, those were the days Brother Lee was promoting door knocking, you know, this is the 80s. So don't worry about that. Door knocking simply means, doesn't mean you have to go physically to knock on the doors. You actually can go to visit people. The principle of door knocking is visiting people. By the way, I like to tell you saints, the leading brothers, I just found out yesterday the U.S. Post Office have a particular program. You go there, and that is you print these cards, like we call them junk mail, right? Cards. That it's a program with the USPS that they will give this to every door. And the program has an acronym, EDM something. I don't know. You just go and check. And there in this card, you have your message and whatever, the gospel message, nicely designed. And there's a QR code. QR code that you can put in there so people can just use the QR code and go to wherever you want them to go to. All right? I didn't know such a program exists, but it does. This is another way, right, to knock on doors. I sometimes read the junk mail. I don't know about you. Of course, I throw them away. But my point is, don't think this won't be read. This is a track. This is the USPS is our Trojan horse. We can actually get the Trojans into people's homes without physically knocking on their doors. And many people read these junk mail for deals, for sale, whatever, you know. But I'm saying in various ways, in many ways, if we have the heart, there is a way. Now, in this little book that you're going to get into, I hope Brother Lee gave us 5 or 6 things for us to prepare ourselves to be qualified, if you will, to be ready to cooperate with the Lord, to contact people, to preach the gospel, to give out the truths. I just read them. Number one, the first is aggressive desperation. Brothers, that's why I spoke to you so long on living to the Lord as the Lord's. I mean, when you see this burden of the Lord, see the desire of the Savior God, you would become desperate. You become a desperate man. Brother Lee, live every day a desperate man. That's why he was so aggressive. That's why he did so much. If you are just passive and, everything is okay, nothing will happen. Only desperate people will preach the gospel and get people saved. You know that parable, which has a dispensational implication, the man that holds the feast and tell the slaves to go and find them, the first is to go to invite people. And that is the first phase of gospel preaching. And that is what? That is to invite the Jews. The Jews have excuses. The Jews even rejected them, that invitation. Then the man was unhappy. He said, now go and bring other people, the lame, the blind. And who are these? These are the Gentiles. That is phase two in the gospel preaching, in that parable. And after so much of this bringing the people, the slaves said, there's still room. There is still room. Then the master or the host said, go to the highways and byways, the hedges, and compel people to come in. Now, what does that mean? That means now the last stage of the gospel preaching is, it does not care the race. It does not care where you are. It does not care. Nothing matters. There is still room in this gospel feast. Anyone can come. Now you go, this time not invite, not bring, this time go and compel. That means to put pressure on them. That means to force them to come. Brothers, if you don't have that kind of desperation, you won't be so aggressive. And there are people who need this kind of aggressiveness to get them saved. You know that. Maybe some of you are like that. Okay, that's number one. We need that fire of desperation in these days. You just read the book. Number two, absolute consecration. That goes back to what I share in the first hour. Consecrate yourself, your whole body, your time, your job, your everything. All those things are for this, for the gospel. We go to work, to feed the mouse and our family. But eventually it is so that we can live for the Lord, for his need. Absolute consecration. Number three, to live a life of abiding in the Lord. Of course, that's John 15. Abide in me and I in you, because apart from me, you cannot do anything. So we need to still live a life in the Lord, in oneness with the Lord. We still have to have that strong mutual abiding, life with the Lord to bear fruit. Number four, we need to be saturated with the Word. We need to still be in the Word, not just in a, but now I'm glad you all are in life studies, am I right? 2 a week together. We need to keep in ourselves in the Word. The Word is all we have. The Word is our cargo. The Word is our goods. The Word is our merchandise to share with people. Otherwise, you open your mouth, nothing will come out. The fifth thing is, this is important, is prayer. Prayer prepares us, but not just kind of lukewarm prayer, sort of formulaic prayer, you know, just saying the same words. No, but this is desperate prayer. This is powerful prayer. This is prayer that will cause you to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the economic, essential and economical Spirit. Yesterday, you know, nowadays here with some brothers, we are praying every day for 20 minutes at noon. Some brothers who were brothers. And yesterday we were in, I was in a car, you know, Travis was with me. And we prayed, you know. My, we didn't just pray some kind of, you know, gratuitous type of prayer. We prayed desperately. We prayed strongly. We were in the car. We were loud. We pray. After you pray like that, you're filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. And then we can do the work of the Lord. The last thing, the last qualification, if you will, is what? Is that we need to go. Then go. Go with what? Go with the authority of Christ. All authority has been given to me. All right? Now I am giving you that authority. Go with that authority. So, brothers, we need to be clothed with the Lord's authority. We should not be tentative. We should not be apologetic. We should not be weak. We should go with boldness. We need to go with the authority of the Lord. We are the ambassadors of Christ, ambassadors of the gospel, like Paul. I think it's in 2 Corinthians 5:20 or something like that. Anyway, go. Go to anywhere, everywhere. The homes, you know, you go to do a BFA table. You go and just give out the Bibles. You contact your relatives. You contact your colleagues. That all these are highways and edges and inhabited earth. We're going to have a GTCA migration fellowship for all the saints tomorrow in the afternoon. And that's so that some of you are burdened to migrate, to go to a new city. The Lord sent these 70 to two by two to towns and villages where he was going to come afterwards to pave the way for the Lord to go to these cities and get people safe and gather the seeking ones and to have the church life. Brothers, these are all in that book. I'm just giving you something like a summary. And this last, give me just 2 minutes. And that is back to the small groups. This is supposed to be a small groups talk, right? The small groups is a good place to start, brothers and sisters. How about gather these days, your small group, just for prayer? Read this booklet and some of this ministry. Pray aggressively and desperately for your small group until you're filled with the Spirit. And pray strongly for your little Jerusalem, right? I talk about one time in the Bay Area about the New Jerusalem is not just all walls. Yes, it's great and high walls, like a cube, that protect the riches of the Lord's interest. But there, every side have gates, four sides, corners of the earth, three gates each, the triune God, the triune gate, Luke chapter 15. Am I right? The Son, the Spirit, and the Father. So all the small groups have to have gates, and you just start with some, if not all the group, some from the group will come to pray. You can pray during the group meeting. You can pray at another time just to pray. And then some of you will just so burden, take the lead. There may be two or three, better yet, two or three, or two groups of two or three, whatever. And then there you will, the Lord will lead you, right? And hopefully the church, the churches, the leading brothers would be burdened. Next year we have all this massive distribution. We'll have more to tell you about it as a help. But the important thing is not just that. The important thing is you, brothers and sisters, where you are in your twos and threes, in your small group, in your local church, receive this burden to live to the Lord and to live unto his desire. I just stop here now. Amen. I think that's good enough.